Well, I believe that Pastor Bob should be probably either on the plane or at least on his way back today from Florida. He did go down to for conference and to be able to take a little bit of time to spend with his dad. So him and Teresa should be back sometime today, and he'll be back at the pulpit next Sunday. So I'm thinking that maybe some of you may not know who I am, but I'm Dean Gartland. I'm one of the elders here at the church, as well as I'm the president and CEO of the City Mission in Washington. And when I was praying about what I was going to share today, I was reminded, and God pressed on my heart, and he said, you know what, today is actually the four-year anniversary of the fire that took place at the City Mission back on June 9th of 2015. And as I was thinking about that, God just pressed on my heart. He said, tell the story. Because there's a very interesting component to this story of the fire of the City Mission that God took this scripture, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of trials, knowing that the trying of your faith produces perseverance. But the scripture goes on to say, but let perseverance complete its work that you may be complete and entire, wanting nothing. Now, I've read that scripture many times, as many of you have, and most of the time we concentrate on and think about, the count it all joy piece. And so that's kind of the title of the message today, count it all joy. And I think that the reason is that is because that really is to be our perspective when we're facing trials and issues and difficulties in our life, that we should have an attitude of counting it all joy. Of course, it's easy to say to count it all joy, and a little harder to express and to live out in our daily lives, because many of us here today are experiencing trials of many kinds. They could be anything from, you could be having a something physically that you're challenged with, that is a difficulty that you're dealing with. It could be a family situation. It could be your children. It could be your parents. It could be a financial struggle. It could be many things. And that's why this scripture is just so critically important to us, is that trials of many kinds, and it's a plural, so therefore it's, not just one, and it's not just if you face a trial, it's when you face a trial. This is what the scripture is telling us. So, in order to set the backdrop for this and let you and really share about how God used this section of scripture to really not only transform the City Mission over these past 4 years, but many of the people that are involved with the City Mission as well. So let me give you the story. So here's the story. June 9th of 2015, I receive a phone call about 12:30 a.m., wee hours of the morning, soon I are asleep, and the staff person's calling me from the mission and says, Dean, the mission is on fire. Okay. Well, I've been doing mission work for quite some time, so it's about 40 years, predominantly rescue mission work, some church work as well. But so I've been through these kind of situations in the past, and usually it means, when they say there's a fire at the mission, it means somebody didn't clean the lint out of the dryer, and so the heat from the dryer caught on fire and place filled with smoke. That's happened several times over the years. So when they say, Dean, the mission's on fire, my thoughts are, they didn't clean the lint filter in the dryer. So I said, okay, well, anyway, I'm going to come out. And so I got in my car. I think I got there about 1:15 in the morning. And yes, the mission was really on fire. It was a literal fire, the smoke coming out of the back of the building, the church building where most of our ministry takes place, fire trucks, firemen, police, and I think, and there you can see the mission there. And that's those three windows is the dining room. That section beyond those three windows to the left is where the kitchen was located. And the fire started in the kitchen. And smoke came out of there. The firemen had to cut a hole in the roof in order to get water down into the kitchen to put out the fire. And everything inside that church was destroyed. That was our kitchen. Everything inside that kitchen was destroyed, melted, as a matter of fact. Went in there, the heat of this fire just about melted everything in there. So water down through the roof and into the kitchen, down through the floor, because this building contained our kitchen, dining room, our chapel, four dorms for men. We had 56 men sleeping in that building that night, plus our chapel, which also had people sleeping on the floor. It also included our medical clinic, which was in the basement, and it included offices for our program people and an attic which we used for storage. Well, needless to say, I walk into the building after about 4 o'clock in the morning. The fire department said it was okay for me to go in. I went in and took a look at everything, and I thought, oh, boy, now what are we going to do? And I have no kitchen. I have no dining room. I have no medical clinic because everything was smoke damage, water throughout the building. So I pulled the staff together, and we prayed, and we asked God to help us understand what we needed to do. Now, there was 4 other buildings on our property, a building that was used for where we picked up clothing and furniture and we sorted it, and a recycling center where we recycled clothing and books and different things and cardboard for generating revenue to help support our ministry, and a women's shelter for women and women with children, and then we had an administrative office building. Those buildings were undamaged, but they all needed that main church building where we were, where everything takes place. That's where we feed and clothe and do all kind of ministry out of that building. Okay, so it's destroyed. A few days after we had prayed and within that week, I'm reading this scripture, and God really presses it on my heart. He said, Dean, count it all joy, knowing that this is a testing of your faith. I was like, okay. We had a major decision to make. Do we just shut down? We close down the ministry? Don't serve men? Don't serve meals? Lay off the staff? Is that what we do? Or do we try to continue on and try to do what God has called us to do? Well, it didn't take long for me to be able to say, you know what, we can't give up. We can't not move forward. Bad English for all you English majors. But we were going to move forward, and I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea how we were actually going to do it, but I did know that God did not want us to close down that ministry and wait for the insurance company to tell us what we were going to do. And so we had some things we needed to get done. And we had to make sure that the men that night had a place to stay that was safe. And I could take a long time to tell you all the steps that we took, every barrier, every trial that we had to go through in order to be able to continue to our ministry and to continue to present the gospel and make sure everybody had food, clothing, shelter, and all the things that are necessary, because many of the homeless that are coming to us have absolutely nothing. They basically come with the clothes on their backs, no belongings, normally don't have anything. So here we have a fire, and here are 56 homeless men, more like 60, because we had some people sleeping on our chapel floor who had nothing, left, and still had nothing. And so whatever they did have that they were able to get while they were at the mission, they no longer had. So that story about the mission was the fire and how God impressed on me about this scripture, count it all joy. One of the things that happened during that week that really kind of helped me understand that I needed to continue on, I had a former client who had been in the mission several years before and had moved on, was living independently in the community, and he came down and he looked at the building and he came up to see me and I shook his hand. And he had tears in his eyes, and he said, you know, Dean, it's just, you know, what it just saddens my heart, you know, to see the mission burned up like this, he said, because, you know, this place saved my life. He said, and, you know, my life is different today because of this mission. He said, I want to give the mission a donation. I said, listen, you know you don't have to do that. I said, we were here for you, and that's what God had called us to do. And he said, no, I just wanted to give you a donation because this place saved my life. And so he gave me a check. And I walked away, you know, giving it not a whole lot of thought. But I figured he gave us $50 or maybe $100 or something like that. And I opened up that check, and that check was for $1,000. And this is a man who had absolutely really nothing. He was on Social Security disability. He was living in he did have an apartment. But I knew his resources were limited. But he made a contribution to the mission anyways. So, God impresses this scripture on my heart. And so when people would ask me, Dean, what are you going to do? I would say, you know what? I'm going to count it all joy. And I'm going to do it by faith. And I'm going to trust God that he is going to help us through this path, down this path to help us do what he has called us to do. Well, there was such an outpouring of love and care and support from the community, the businesses, the churches, individuals. I mean, it was just this outpouring. I mean, people heard about the mission. They saw it on the news. They knew that we had a need. And there was just an outpouring of love and care and support. It was unbelievable. But so I knew that God wanted us to continue on. But there's something about this scripture, and many of you probably have studied this and have heard many other messages about this scripture, but there was something inside this scripture that just spoke to me differently, and it has to do with the very last part of that scripture, and it said that you would be lacking nothing. That if you submit to this process of counting it all joy, and you can do that only if you know that it's the testing of your faith, because that's how you can count it all joy. I know that God is testing my faith, so I can count it all joy. And if you can do that, there is a very specific benefit that God is going to provide you that he's going to take and bring into your life. Now, I wasn't really aware of all these things at the time. I just kind of started to figure out that counting it all joy wasn't me just denying what the reality is. You know, the building's burned up. People don't have a place to go. There's no food. We don't have a way to provide all this. It wasn't denying reality, but it was all about acting in faith, trusting, believing that God was testing our faith. So that was the first part of this lesson that God was giving me. He was just saying, you know what, Dean, you can count it all joy because I'm testing your faith. Well, I started sharing that message with our staff, and, you know, we gathered together and pulled ourselves together in one of our buildings, and I said, listen, this is what God is saying. Count it all joy when we face these trials, and here's why. Because he's testing our faith. But if we can submit to that and actually do this, then there's going to be a great provision that's coming. Because in this, it says if you do this and you get perseverance, and perseverance creates maturity and completeness, that we're going to be lacking nothing. So as time went on, and I'm telling you, I probably should write a book, because the amount of things that we had to overcome, both politically, you know, financially, materially, everything that you could possibly think of, we were being challenged by it. Here we have a fire in June, and the insurance, so we, long story short on this, we ended up being able to get some trailers that we were able to put in an empty lot to provide shelter for the men after the Washington High School allowed us to put our men in their cafeteria for the summer, but they had to be out by August 3rd, so we had to put all this information, we had to work to find these trailers, find an empty lot, get these trailers set up, and then be ready by August 3rd to transfer all the clients over to the trailers. Okay, which we did. Then I had to put together a master plan that I had to submit to city planning. And I had to get that approved. And then I had to go to city council and get that plan approved once city planning approved it. And I had to do this in August. So I had to work with the architects, and we had to scramble to figure out what we were going to do because the fire marshal and the fire chief came to me and said, "Dean, by the amount of damage that's been done in this building, you are not going to be able to go back in there and use this building the way that you have been using it without a sprinkler system and without an elevator. So if you're going to use this building, you're going to have to consider that when you're going down the road." Well, all right, well, if that's what we need, and then that's what we need. You know, so I was able to work with the architect. We were able to locate enough space because the other issue with that, if we did this to go back in that building, also meant in bringing everything up to code because the mission had been grandfathered in over many years, is that we'd have to reduce the amount of beds we had for homeless men, which we had 56 beds. We would have had to reduce down to about 35 because the code requires so many square feet per person in the building in a, you know, living quarters for bed space. So it was like, you know what, I can't do that. We had 56 beds. I had already been at overflow for 3 years, summer and winter. We were over our capacity and people staying at the mission, and I had them sleeping on the chapel floor because I didn't have enough space. So I said, I can't reduce the bed space. So we had to come up with a better plan. So working with the architects, our recycling center and our donation processing center that we use, we said it was pretty much open space. Said that's where we can go, and we can renovate that and put our men's dormitories in there. And if we do that, we'll actually have an opportunity probably to increase some of our bed space. All right, we worked diligently, put it all together, put this master plan together. I had to get on the docket by the end of August to get this master plan approved by city planning. Went in before city planning, made my presentation. They came back within a couple days and said, "Dean, unanimous, approved our plan." So, okay, now I got to get on the docket for city council because the insurance company says they will only pay for 1 year of rental on these trailers that we had in this empty lot for the men. I said, okay, so we need to renovate this place by the following summer, which meant I had to vet the contractors and find a contractor who's going to be able to do this in the time frame that was allotted. And so, again, long story short, found a contractor. He needed to get started. He said, for us to finish by next summer, we have to start October 1. So that means I had to get our recycling center and our donation processing for clothing and all that had to move. So you can see, and I share that with you because I just wanted you to get a grasp of the magnitude of the trials of many kinds that we were facing in order to keep our ministry operational. So God was taking us through a testing process, testing our faith and developing perseverance or patience, completing us, and ultimately bringing us to a place where many of the things that we lacked before the fire were now coming to fruition. I'll tell you something. This was an absolute miracle of God. I don't know how else to explain it, because through this whole process, and this was just 4 years ago that this fire took place, and today, as a result of this process that God took us through, the mission is totally transformed. This is no longer the same place it was before. God has changed everything. And as a matter of fact, he has also provided us a 22-bed shelter for homeless veterans. Brand new shelter, homeless veterans, filled. We opened that last July. It's been filled since we're about 3 months into that opening. 22 homeless veterans are living there. But I want to talk a little bit more about the key. This count it all joy piece is really about an opportunity for rejoicing. So if you're here today, and I know that some of you are facing trials of many kinds. Some of you are having some challenges in your marriage. Some of you have some challenges with your children. Some of you are having some financial challenges. And some of you are having some physical challenges as well. Well, one of the key elements about being able to count it all joy is to know that God is testing your faith. When you know this, and this is a key element to this, this is why you can count it all joy. Because when you are looking at the trial as just a discomfort, as something you just don't want to have, that you wish you can get out of it, and so what do? You're looking for ways out. Not how can you take what God is doing in your life and allow him to work in it. You're looking for a way to get out of it. But if you can look at that trial that you're facing today, and if you can look at it as in a different perspective and see it as God testing your faith, you will be able to get the benefit. So, because that's what the trial is all about, testing your faith. So, some of the benefit. First of all, the testing of your faith produces perseverance or patience. How many times have you heard people talk about, you know what, they're in the middle of a trial and they're saying, man, God, I need patience. Well, they're in the middle of the trial that is developing the patience. So they don't need to pray for God to give them patience. God's already doing it. He's already got you in a place for that to happen. If you submit, if you engage that trial according to God's word, count it all joy, knowing that it's a testing of your faith. If you can do that, then you will benefit from what's happening. Now, perseverance is not just bearing up under the trial, but it includes the idea of standing fast under the pressure to give up. How many of you are sitting here today facing a trial, physical, relationship, work, whatever, that you're facing right now and you feel the pressure of wanting to give up? Because I will tell you, when I was going through this, there were several times that I thought, you know what, God, I don't know if I can do this. I just don't know if I can continue to do this. I had a staff that was, you know, challenged because, you know what, how do we do this? I had to keep them focused on the mission and what God has called us to do. I had donors who were saying, Dean, what do you need? And there was just so many things. I had churches were calling. I had businesses saying, you know, so I'm trying to manage all these different voices that were saying, Dean, you know, what are you doing? What do you need? What can I do to help? I mean, it was pretty overwhelming. And there were times I felt like giving up. But perseverance is standing fast under the pressure to give up. It means holding on, because you can always find a reason to quit. When you're facing a trial, when you're facing a hardship, a difficulty, The easiest thing to be able to find is a reason to quit. But it really takes the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to encourage your heart to not give up, not quit. The dictionary says that perseverance is persistence in doing something despite the difficulty. The persistence of doing something despite the difficulty. Well, going through these trials, fire, rebuilding, looking at this, everything that's going on, contractors, I knew God wanted me to persist and to continue on. But that was one benefit, the development of persistence and of perseverance, because one of the things, and maybe, I don't know, you may be like this too, but I'm a results kind of thinker, so I always am thinking about things such as, you know, you make a decision and there's a result. There's a consequence for every decision you make. So I think like that. So it's like, you know, so I'm always thinking about, okay, if this decision and, you know, what's the potential consequence or the result that's going to come from this? Well, this scripture takes us right through the process. Count it all joy because you know it's a testing of your faith. It's going to develop perseverance. It will develop perseverance. You don't have to pray for it. Ask God for it. He's giving it to you. He's actually developing it in your life as you go through this experience. Secondly, perseverance also results in something more. You'll be perfect and complete. And that basically means simply this. It means perfect simply means having reached the end. And complete means whole. So as you engage in through this experience of going through this trial, counting it all joy, knowing that it's testing your faith, it's developing perseverance in your life, and this perseverance is developing perfection, or you're going to become perfect. There's going to be an end. The end is coming, and you'll be complete, meaning whole, as a result of allowing perseverance to do its work. And then the very last thing it says, and thirdly, you will lack nothing. Wow. You will have obtained all that is necessary. I did not understand that. When I've read that, I've read that many, many times. And I have no idea. I just, you know, I've always related it to meaning that you will have, you know, the character or, you know, you will not lack what you need to be able to, you know, to stand up under the pressure of the event. But what God showed me in this situation was simply this. When I saw that, and as I was reading it, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, I started thinking about everything that we lacked as a ministry, and I started to make a list of it. We lacked a kitchen that could put more than four people in it, a dining room that could serve more than 40 people at a time, a medical clinic that was big enough that we could serve all the people that needed service, classrooms. We had no classrooms at the mission, classroom space where we can instruct and teach and do those kind of things, a computer lab so that our residents would have an opportunity to be able to apply for jobs and do their resume and learn some computer skills. The buildings, I mean, I just went down, you know, no place for our veterans because our veterans were coming to the mission, but they weren't staying. They were leaving in the middle of the night for no reason. You know, I'd see them on Friday, they'd be happy, Dean, everything's great. I'd come in on Monday, where'd he go? Nobody knows. He packed his stuff in the middle of the night on a Saturday night and left. We don't know where he went. How he was doing, nothing. And so we had a vision to build a new veterans facility that was dedicated solely to veterans in the hopes that we can address this transitory element of our veterans just leaving. Well, going through this process, making a list of everything that we lacked. And I'm going to tell you something. Today It is an unbelievable thing to be able to see it. But I do have one more. There's a couple other scriptures I want to share with you before I tell you everything that God had provided. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And this is out of the New King James Version. And it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire," really, "may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, I read that scripture and I thought, you know, really, Lord? Tested by fire? I mean, that's what it said. And that's what it is. So, I'm going to read a portion of scripture to you. It's in the book of James as well. And it's James chapter 5, verse 7. And it says this: "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." And there was one other scripture, and it said in the same book of James, chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Consider the patience of Job." I said, you know what, I think I'll bypass that scripture. I don't want to consider the patience of Job. But in this scripture, it says that your faith is more precious than gold, though it's tried by fire. And I can go in again into all these steps, into this process, getting the building redesigned, all that stuff that I just talked to you about. But I can say this today. It's been 4 years. That fire destroyed the main component of our ministry. But to this day, we have never missed a day of providing shelter, food, clothing, and the gospel of Jesus Christ to the homeless and addicted in our community, and we never missed a day of doing that because people stepped up. That's right. But God moved on to the hearts of people and businesses and Christians and churches, and just an outpouring of love and support for this mission. And the thing is, not one man ever went without home, without by being homeless or being turned away. They came, we sheltered them, we made sure that they got everything that they needed when they came to us. And so today, as a result of going through this process that God has given us, we have a brand new 22-bed shelter for homeless veterans. We have a newly renovated shelter for men that were displaced by the 50, you know, by the fire. There was 56 beds, as I told you. We were able to add 40 beds. Today we have 96 beds for men. And yes, we have an elevator, sprinkler system throughout the facility. We have a newly renovated women and children's shelter with private suites and bathrooms. And for those of you who knew Dick Guthrie, we also have a children's center. The Guthrie Children's Center is inside our women and children's center. We have a new kitchen that's five times bigger than the kitchen we had. We have a dining room, as I said, that used to sit 40 people. People used to have to wait to get in there. Our kitchen, our dining room today, we can sit 150 people. We have a renovated offices. We have four educational rooms and a computer lab. We have an expanded medical clinic that has four medical exam rooms, a pharmacy, a drug-free pain management clinic that is staffed by volunteer doctors, chiropractors who come in every week, and with a nice foyer and everything for them to be able to come in. And remember I told you we had to remove off the campus our donation processing center, and we now have a 48,000-square-foot warehouse where we collect, sort, distribute clothing, furniture to our stores and to low-income members of our community. So in conclusion, and I was gonna say, listen, I promise not to keep you here past noon, but I'm gonna bring this to a close. Hopefully, you're getting this concept, this whole perspective idea from this scripture. It transform the way that I see trials and difficulties in my life. Because I, when I read that before, I usually only thought about the count it all joy piece. I never thought about the fact that it was tied into knowing that it was the testing of your faith and that there was a process that was going to lead to something far greater than I could have ever imagined. I'll tell you, this, the mission today, and I, again, doing this for 40 years, most missions are missions that are in facilities that were designed for some other use, and they've been, you know, kind of acclimated to serve missions. I had the great privilege and opportunity to design this mission based on what the needs are of the people that we serve. And so today we have this tremendous mission, and I would certainly invite you, all of you, at any time you would love to come down and take a tour of our campus. Please feel free to do so. But it has to do with our attitude and perspective, critically important, because it impacts our behavior. There's another verse, and this is our last verse, and let's put that up on the screen. And this is interesting, because this verse is taken from, I don't know if any of you heard of the translation, The Voice. So this is taken from that translation called The Voice. And it says this, don't run from tests and hardships, brothers and sisters. As difficult as they are, you will ultimately find joy in them if you embrace them. Your faith will blossom under pressure and teach you true patience as you endure. And true patience, brought on by endurance, will equip you to complete the long journey and cross the finish line. Mature, complete, and wanting nothing. This is a lesson that I've learned, and Lord willing, hopefully it was an encouragement to you as well. And I can't stress enough, if you're going through some difficulties, some real challenges right now, and you're feeling the pressure to give up, to quit, whether it's your marriage, your relationship with your children, a physical ailment, a financial distress, whatever it is, this word is saying to you is this, don't give up. God is still in control, and when you are able to submit and engage your difficulties this way, and be able to count it all joy, you will experience something far beyond what you probably could ever imagine. I know that I did, because this test was incredible. So let's pray. And while we pray, the worship team is going to come back up. Father, we give you thanks for your word today. God, what a challenge it is to our hearts to count it all joy when we're in the midst of all these different kinds of trials, Lord. Financial, physical, relationship, marriage, school. We're making decisions, Father. And we are being tested. Our faith is being tested. But, oh God, what a blessing awaits us as we submit ourselves to your surgery in our lives. To allow perseverance to develop in us and to allow that to perseverance to create the maturity that you want us to have. And as a result, your word says that we would lack nothing. God, I ask you to be with us. Help us. And I pray for everyone here today. Encourage their hearts. Strengthen their resolve to not quit, but to continue on to bring glory, to bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I commit them to you and this word to you today. In Jesus' name, amen.